what's going on? And welcome back to the White Flag Podcast, where together we get to spend time adopting the courageous practices of surrender that Jesus has called us to, like withdrawal and silence, and meditation and contemplation, and putting down all the metrics of performance that we try to live out in our faith so we can find rest and joy with Jesus the way he's designed for us. This podcast means a ton to me. This topic matters a lot to me because as our culture has continually increased in its pace and posture and volume into this sort of hurried, manic, control-obsessed state, it matters a ton to me that we get to spend time really living the way Jesus lived and abiding and resting and connecting with God in the ways that Jesus modeled for us. So I'm so excited to have you here on the show. If you are someone who follows it pretty consistently, you'll notice that 2 weeks ago I didn't have an episode. That's because my wife and I were welcoming our third child and our first son named Indiana. He's amazing, not sleeping great, so please pray for that. But he is great, he is healthy, he is no longer going in and out of the hospital due to some issues that we had. He's doing really well, so thank you for your prayers and all those of you who reached out and just let me know you're excited to hear about them. But we took a week off 2 weeks ago, and then last week we got to experience that bombshell of an interview with Chuck Mingo, who was just a wealth of wisdom and honesty and practical faith in ways that you and I can model. And today's episode is kind of birthed out of that conversation. I wanted to dive into something that he hit on a little bit. But before we do get into all that, as always, I'd love to hear from you and how these practices of silence and solitude and surrender and Sabbath and just putting down those performance metrics, like I said, how putting those down help you connect with God in a more intimate way. I'd love to hear about how God is at work in your life. You can reach me at jonathanmoynihan.com. That's my website. Or you can follow me on Instagram at jonathan.moynihan. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you're one of like the 20% of the people who tune in through that medium, I'd love for you to like and subscribe to the page, all that stuff. Click the buttons. I don't even know what you do. I just want to make sure you don't miss out on what we are learning together in this White Flag community. But to jump into the rest of our time today, I want to start by telling you about something that happened to me when I was doing my first ever triathlon. A couple years ago, I did a half Ironman, which is a 1.2-mile swim, a 56-mile bike, and then a 13.1-mile run. You basically end the whole race with a half marathon, which is the longest race I'd ever done up to that point. But a couple of my friends are really motivated to do it, so I decided to do it. My wife was passionate about triathlons, and I thought, hey, this could be a fun thing for us to do together one day. Might as well get into it. So I'm doing the race. I've been training for months. I get there. I'm doing the bike. And one of the highlights for me of the race, and it's really kind of poking fun of myself, but one of the highlights of the race was during the ride, I passed this dude who had like crazy expensive bike, crazy nice helmet, all that stuff. And as I was getting close to him, I was feeling really like good about myself. You know, like, oh, I'm catching up to this guy. He's like a professional maybe, blah, blah, blah. Clearly he wasn't. But when I got close to him, I realized, oh, this guy, the only reason I'm catching up to him is because he's pulling a full-sized adult who has special needs that they clearly have a relationship with, and he's helping him experience this triathlon. So I felt bad for getting excited about catching this guy because clearly he's carrying a ton of weight and doing this amazing thing for his friend. So, you know, feeling convicted a little bit, wanting to be positive there as I pass him, you know, because when you pass people, you kind of feel good about yourself, but I didn't really feel good passing this guy. So anyway, I'm passing him, and I'm like, hey, man, good job. You're killing it. Keep it up. Like, I was trying to be encouraging for him. And then what happens, though, is flash forward to the end of the race. I'm like half a mile from the finish line. I'm running. I'm dying. I'm exhausted. My body's falling apart. My muscles are falling apart. I want to stop every single second. But I'm like, no, you got to keep going. I'm like half a mile from the finish line. And then that dude who was pulling a full-sized adult with special needs, he then passes me on the run while pushing this friend that he was doing the race with. And I'm not going to lie to you. It was demoralizing, okay? Like being passed by someone who's pushing a full-sized adult. But hey, that's what happened to me. It was really kind of cool, like seeing this guy do a race with a friend who clearly had a connection with. But I finished the race. I beat my time, my goal that I was set. So everything was fine. But that was just a crazy story that happened. Like for me to say hi to this guy and feel good about myself and the way in which I encouraged him, and then for him to pass me at the finish line, I was like, all right, I could work on getting a little faster. But after that Ironman, I was physically and emotionally and spiritually exhausted, man. Let me tell you, doing an Ironman, even if it's just the half, an Ironman race is like a whole new adventure in the exploration of human exhaustion, because I discovered like a whole new level of fatigue. Like even apparently, nobody tells you this, but you can get so dehydrated and so tired and like your whole body could just be sort of falling apart to the point where the roof of your mouth gets really sensitive to food. And so one of the first places I went to get food after the race was McDonald's, because I'm like, I haven't eaten much McDonald's leading up to the race. I wanted to be healthy. I need to treat myself. I deserve this. I'm going to get myself some McDonald's. Got myself some McDonald's fries. And when I bit into the fries, it was like eating glass. Like, my mouth hurt so bad. I was texting my buddies on the race, and I'm like, oh my gosh, my mouth hurts. Does your mouth hurt? And they're like, yes, it hurts. And we just discovered that that's just part of being at a peak new level of exhaustion. But I say all that because I was just in a new state of being tired, right? Like, I was exhausted. But what really made this level of exhaustion after the Ironman different than the two-a-days of football back in high school, or even the long runs or grueling workouts that I'd done with some of my friends who do CrossFit and they're crazy, what made this level of exhaustion different was it was a full-bodied exhaustion that included not just my muscles, but my mind and my spirit. Because when you do an Ironman like that, to do a race like that, you have to be attentive the whole time. You kind of have to be focused. You constantly have to put down the desire to quit and be disciplined to keep your pace up, to keep your run up, to not walk all the time. And especially for that final like 13.1 mile run, it was draining, like a whole new level of draining within me. And again, I wasn't just exhausted in my body. I was exhausted in my spirit, in my heart, in my brain, and in my full self. And really coming out of the Ironman, the only thing that really helped me get back on track to feeling normal physically was just not doing anything. Like, I didn't run, I didn't swim, I didn't really do walks. I just kind of laid around and stretched. And I remember like not even reading much. I was in the middle of a reading kick, and just even the act of being disciplined to read a book and not watch TV or watch YouTube, even that was difficult for me for a time. And I say all that because when it comes to our faith, the hope is that none of us ever get to a place where we are that exhausted, where our exhaustion is so encompassing that we want to collapse and put down all spiritual disciplines. But the truth is, some of you who are listening right now might feel that way. I think a part of it isn't because we don't do important things like Bible reading or praying or serving in the church or even adopting silence in your day. I think sometimes it's because when we seek to rest or when we seek to pray, we kind of compartmentalize our recovery into these little pockets of our life instead of bringing to God our full selves. And that's something that I want to tap into today and help come up with a way in which we grade our level of burnout to bring our full self to God and say, Lord, would you help me become aware of where I am on this scale of exhaustion so that you can go to work and I can rest in you and even take a break in some really formative ways so that I can resist the temptation of burning out, resist the pull of being burnt out, and really connect with you, God. There's this idea in the Eastern Orthodox tradition known as the hesychastic prayer, which is a pursuit of divine contemplation through silence. It's a tradition of Eastern Orthodox monks who will kind of step into what they call pure prayer or full prayer, which is coming to God with your full self, you know, your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. You're bringing all of your senses into a time of quiet, still reflection with God. And, you know, that's something we try to do at times, but so often prayer, you know, I even did a sermon on Sunday about this. Prayer, we can talk to God as we do things. We can talk to him while we drive or while we're in the shower. But there's a restorative nature to really taking a step back and bringing our full self to God. I've even heard people suggest that this hesychastic prayer, this idea of full prayer, even stems from the order in which Jesus introduces and calls us to love God, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, meaning full self. You know, that, and then loving God with your heart, and then your soul, your mind, and your strength. So bringing all of these things into the fray as you connect with God with your full self. Now, again, the problem is when you and I seek to sort of evaluate or audit or even pray to God, we often kind of throw up these little Hail Marys or these little quick check-ins with God in prayer instead of realizing that there's something about prayer with our full self, with our full heart, when we are at a place of complete exhaustion, that it is only from that place of doing nothing that we really can start to see where do we need to go to work, where do we need to invite the Spirit to go to work within us and help us really evaluate the level of burnout that we are experiencing. There is this incredible book by Henry Nouwen called The Way of the Heart. I couldn't recommend it enough. To be honest, if you read it, you'll probably feel like you don't need to listen to the podcast anymore because a lot of these practices I'm obsessed with, I've learned a lot about from Henry Nouwen. But when it comes to prayer and full-bodied, whole self hesychastic prayer, I just want to read you a quote from Henry Nouwen's book. He says, "Very few ministers will deny that prayer is important. They will not even deny that prayer is the most important dimension of their lives. But the fact is that most ministers pray very little or not at all. They realize that they should not forget to pray, that they should take time to pray, and that prayer should be a priority in their lives. But all these shoulds do not have the power to carry them over the enormous obstacle of their activism. There's always one more phone call, one more letter, one more visit, one more meeting, one more book, and one more party. Together, these form an insurmountable pile of activities. The contrast between the great support for the idea of prayer and the lack of support for the practice of it is so blatantly visible that it becomes quite easy to believe in the rules of the evil one." That hits really hard for me, especially as a minister and, you know, vocational, you know, person who works at a church. But I think you could replace that word minister and apply it to a lot of us, because when you talk to believers about the importance of prayer, no one will ever give you an answer that minimizes prayer. But when you look at their life and the way in which they approach God with their full selves, the weight of prayer that they express verbally is not matched by the weight of prayer they live out physically. And what I want to propose is to go back to something that Chuck Mingo talked about called the FASTER scale. And I want to encourage and invite you to use this FASTER scale as a tool for evaluating the levels of burnout within your spirit. This is going to be a tool that I think you may listen to once, and you probably heard Chuck and I talk about it briefly, but you're going to listen to it once and realize that in those moments when you feel really at end with yourself, when you just feel that level of exhaustion that leads to collapse almost, that this, my goal is that this FASTER scale would be a way and a tool that you can step into the hesychastic prayer of your full self in quiet and stillness with God and go through the letters and say, "God, would you help expose within me where I'm at on this scale? What level of danger am I in of spiritual burnout? And God, I come to you with my full heart, my full self, and I ask you to go to work within me." So if you got to watch all of my interview last week with Chuck Mingo, some of this will be review, but the FASTER scale was something that Chuck learned as he was coming out of recovery from an addiction. And the FASTER scale is basically a way in which we evaluate how much faster are we beginning to live our lives as people in the West, in the Western part of the world, and how do we slow down to the point where then we can reconnect with God and operate at the pace and posture and volume that He's called us to. So the FASTER scale is FASTER. And the scale, according to Chuck, is kind of linear. And so you can kind of go in order and realize where are you in the depth of this scale and take time to figure out, okay, where am I at? What do I need to be aware of? Where are the areas where I'm falling short of my own self-admitted priorities when it comes to walking with Jesus? So then you can kind of take hold of them, bring them to God, and have Him work on them with you. But F, the first one is stands for forgetting. F stands for forgetting priorities in your life, things that you've said have mattered to you a ton, things like reading books or waking up early, or eating healthily, or coming to be home for dinner. One of the first things to go when you start to operate at a new level of exhaustion or you are experiencing some symptoms of burnout is that you start to forget the priorities you've set for yourself. And so when you pray to God with your full heart, you know, this hesychastic prayer, I'd encourage you to start by saying, "God, am I forgetting or falling short of the priorities that I've set for you and for myself that I want to be true for me?" Speaking from example, having a third kid, my time with God in the morning and that silence is just not happening. And I know that I'm already past F because the priorities, the things that really matter to me, I haven't spent the time to create new margins, even in the midst of having three kids and a newborn. I haven't done so. So I know that I'm already more susceptible to burnout because I've forgotten that priority of what my morning rhythms are going to look like. The first letter is F. The second letter is A for anxiety. And really, this doesn't mean like clinical anxiety or some sort of crippling anxiety. It could just mean your inability to relax. We are doing a prayer rhythm exercise right now as a staff at Mosaic where we are praying morning, midday, and evening. And our midday time is a corporate gathering where we pray together. And today, we did a prayer where we were silent for a while to start. And I realized that there's so much value in that, because sometimes just being still and being quiet with God, you've heard me talk about this before, but the level of uncomfortableness that we feel in that moment might actually be a tool of the Spirit to reveal how anxious our heart is. I love that famous psalm that says, "Search me, O God, and know my anxious heart." And so you might be higher up on or higher up on the faster scale because your anxiety levels are up. For me, I've noticed my anxiety levels are up ever since my son was born. I find myself checking email far more than I used to, even though I have less time. But there's a restlessness that's occurring within me where I'm finding myself being tempted to check my email at like 9 or 10 at night. And if you know me, you know I never do that. But first one is forgetting. Second one is anxiety. Next in the faster scale is S, and that stands for being sped up. If you are forgetting your priorities and you're finding yourself being an example, chances are you also are probably starting to speed up the way in which you live your life to the point where you no longer see people as treasures of God, but you see them as problems to be solved or things to get past. These are judgments that I make about people who I see speeding through the highway at like 7 a.m. on their way to work. I'm like, man, you probably have a major emergency happening, or you are operating at a pace that's just like producing more speed in your life all the time. But if you find yourself having to hurry from one thing to the next all the time, probably because you're filling your day with margin, probably speeding up too much, you're probably trying to do things faster than what God would even ask you to do them. But even for me, you know, I'm realizing that the more margin I've had in my life since my son was born is actually exposing some of the ways in which I had been speeding up leading up to his birth. So that's an interesting one. So that's F-A-S, for S for sped up. T is one that Chuck said, ticked off. Just means being agitated, right? Are you finding yourself being disproportionately upset with the behaviors of others or the situations of others? Another way to put this is, I've heard someone say, you know you need counseling when what happens in your life warrants like a 3 out of 10 response, but you're at an 8 out of 10. That gap between the reality and your emotional response indicates that there's something dysfunctional going on within you. And so if you find yourself constantly being ticked off and getting really upset about small things, you know, not being able to show grace or forgive someone for being a couple minutes late, I'm not saying being late isn't a big deal in a professional setting, but, you know, if that's where you're at, that's probably a good sign that you need to bring your full self to God, spend some time in prayer and say, God, I'm already at T on this faster scale. I need you to help bring me down. The E in the faster scale stands for exhaustion. And that's when you're getting to a really dangerous place where you find yourself with deep soul weariness. When you're in a state of soul exhaustion, I think it's hard to pray. I think it's hard to worship. It's hard to assume the best about God and assume the best about Christians. I find myself being overly cynical when I've found myself in a place of spiritual exhaustion. It's a really dangerous cycle because as you get more and more exhausted, you become less likely to do the things that are going to help get you out of exhaustion, like bringing your full self in this hesychastic prayer of your full heart in quiet with God. It's so difficult to do that and be motivated to do that when you are physically exhausted. The same way, those who are feeling lethargic in life, maybe have an unhealthy diet or just some medical condition, the best thing for them is to get active, but they feel so bad because they're not active, which thus makes them feel more bad. So it's just this dangerous cycle. That sometimes the very things you need to do to get yourself out of this soul exhaustion are the things you don't want to do, like spiritual disciplines. So the second to last one in the faster scale is E, exhaustion. And then the last letter is the letter R for relapsing. And this is where like the check engine light isn't just on, it's like blinking and screaming at you and the smoke is coming out of the hood of your car. Relapsing to an addiction or to a behavior of the past, this is a telltale sign that you are operating out of integrity in terms of the ways that God wants you to live and the rhythms that Jesus has called you to. And obviously there are things like addiction and clinical issues that I'm not going to try to minimize. But if you have an addiction to pornography and you've been doing really, really well, and then you suddenly start falling back into it, you might have blown past letters F-A-S-T-E and you're right at R, but it's because of a bunch of other stuff, not just an inability to deny yourself when you're tempted, but because there's all these other factors that are spurring you on to operate faster and faster and faster, and it's producing relapse in your life. If you are someone who eats to feel comfortable, that could, and you relapse into an old way. If you're someone who has a history of self-harming or body dysmorphia, and you start falling back into some of those patterns, relapsing, it's never just about what you're doing. It's about the ways in which our heart has grown disconnected from the truth that God says about us as His children through faith in Jesus. So I go through those F-A-S-T-E-R because I'd encourage you to write them down, make a note of them as Chuck kind of talked with us. But this is a tool that when you get the sense that you've got some symptoms of burnout, you can bring them into this time of full heart presence and prayer with God in this Eastern Orthodox tradition of just stepping out in your full divine quietness with God and say, God, show me where am I at on this scale? And as Chuck Mingle pointed out, there is no assumption that the Christian life is going to mean we're never on the scale. Chances are you're probably on that scale somewhere, kind of like I talked to you about where I'm at with the FAS. But the journey of faith is bringing our full self to God and saying, God, I'm scared that I'm here. I'd like some help. And would you help bring to light for me where I need to be more mindful? I need to be more cautious. I need to be more guarded and more disciplined so that I don't go further down this faster scale. See, I spent months training for how to do an Ironman triathlon, but I didn't spend a minute looking up how to recover from one. And I think in a weird way, a lot of us spend a ton of our time looking into how do we step into ministry? How do we step into maturity and faith? But then as we take on more and more responsibilities, we're not spending the time to evaluate how do we recover from the life that we're taking upon ourselves. And serving in the church, giving to your neighbor, getting to know others, living missionally, all of those things are calls of Jesus. But there are times, especially in our Western context, where we are overexerting ourselves and thus being at risk of burnout. And so my hope is that this faster tool, I'm just repeating what we discussed last week, would be a way in which you step into that full heart prayer and something that if you are feeling close to burnout right now or you find yourself relapsing in a behavior you don't want, this could be a way for you to evaluate, oh, you know what? This is the manifestation of the behavior I don't like. But I've started speeding up my life, and I've started ignoring anxiety, and I actually stopped following through my priorities a long time ago. And there are some simple things that you can begin to reclaim your life coming out of that hurried, manic, control-obsessed state. So a little scattered still, not sleeping too much. Hope this finds you well. I'm excited to share a meditation and contemplative exercise next week with you that's been really formative for me. But in the meantime, I hope you spend time connecting with God in prayer with your full self, with your full heart, and allowing this faster scale to be a tool that enables you to grade the levels of burnout that we inevitably will find as we seek to change the world with the gospel of Jesus. Be well. I'll talk to you guys soon.